We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And now it feels real. Welcome on in, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the official Eagles schedule release show. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass this evening. And in with me for the next couple hours is James Seltzer of the Go Birds podcast, among other things he does here at WIP, like the Midday Show and High Hopes podcast. James, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm not going to lie to you. Little bit of chills there with that music.
I know.
Got it going
old
for
school.
Me.
Old school, yeah.
That's beautiful.
That is great. All right, we got a lot to get into here, James, the next 2 hours. So it is NFL schedule release night, and obviously, you know, some of this stuff is leaked out already. It's the way it works.
Yeah, but it's good that they have a whole show. The NFL releases the schedule, but we all know.
Yeah, so at 8 o'clock, we will have an official schedule. And don't you guys worry. At 8 o'clock, James and I are going to look at the schedule, and we're going to do what is a staple. We get to be the first ones on WIP this year to do it.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought about it on the way in.
Yeah.
I was like, I get to be the first person on WIP to do win-loss. What an honor.
It's,
I can't wait.
It's a staple of sports radio.
It's a
all
must.
Everyone's going to do it tomorrow. We'll do it tonight at 8 o'clock, so we'll have the full schedule. We do have some stuff that is kind of leaked out here. Joining us at 8:30, and I'm excited for this, is Merrill Reese. Merrill's going to join us,
amazing.
Which means we're going to make him do the win-loss game. And my other favorite thing about Merrill is he'll give us his thoughts on where he's traveling to, because he likes some places he doesn't. I know he hates Washington.
He's talked a lot about Washington and what a dump that place is.
Totally. So we're going to have Merrill on later in the show to give his thoughts on us, and you guys be part of the show as well. 215-592-9494, the schedule release show. All right, James, let's just talk big picture for a second here. We do know a little bit about the start of the schedule, but you and I haven't spoken about the Eagles. You were on with me for the Roundtable Philly show, so
yes.
we know how our thoughts on that. But where are you on this Eagles team? Because it's funny, I was thinking about this the other night. Like, I would say the temperature of the city that I felt up until draft night was, all right, like, they're not bad. They didn't improve that much. Still, the jury's out for a lot of people. I feel like it's a split city on the quarterback, which what else is new? It's Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel a lot of buzz for the Eagles. And then draft night came, and it just totally flipped, like, on 180 in one night. I feel like people are excited. I think they could be a good team. And James, I think they could win the NFCs. Before I see the full schedule, I think they can win the NFCs.
Joe, we're not going to be disagreeing too much tonight then, because I'm 100% with you. And I was very down on this team last year. I've been very down on Howie Roseman the last few years. But I think you look at the last year that this guy's had, basically from the Carson Wentz trade forward, I mean, masterful. I mean, he's really brought this team back from the brink and put them in a really good position. And to your point, man, I don't ever remember a single move changing a fan base's opinion of a team as much as the AJ Brown trade. It totally changed everything. All of a sudden, there's juice for this team. People are excited. It's like, we might have one of the best offenses in football. And we were going from, like, can this team even throw the ball, to all of a sudden, everyone is all in on this team. And honestly, I think they should be. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to improve from last year. And we're going to talk about it. But, hey, you know, everyone last year, oh, easy schedule. Guess what?
Easy schedule again.
So I think they're in, and especially think about Sirianni year two, Hurts in year two in the same system, year two is the starter, like all the other young guys getting another year in that. There's a lot of reason for optimism with this team.
So I'm going to say something now, and I don't want this to be misconstrued, because I don't think, I like Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's going to jump to become an MVP level player this season. But this offseason, when you add it all together, it kind of reminds me of 16 going into 17.
Sure.
Like, you know, they were an okay team in 16. In 21 they were better. They won 9, but they're okay. The quarterback, you saw some things, but they were still like, all right, we'll see how good he is. Now, Wentz was the number 2 pick. Hurts was second round pick, so it's not exactly the same. But then they went and got Alshon Jeffrey. Right, and there was like a buzz going into 17, and a couple, I guess it was last week, James, I was filling in for Angelo, and we had Brandon Graham in for an hour, mm-hmm. and I just sensed from him like an excitement, like it's almost like he's rejuvenated, because this is the first time I feel like in a few years where there's like a buzz that they could be good. Last year, no one had any expectations, and even into 20, it was like, it felt weird. It felt like they were on the downslope of that run they had in 17 and 18. This is the first year I sense optimism from the team about where they're going.
It's a great point. Kelsey, I think, is another example of that. And it's,
well, how about you? I'm sure you guys played on the show. His reaction to A.J. Brown.
Absolutely. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And then, you know what stuck with me that Jason Kelsey said? I thought it was a really impactful thing for him to say. When asked why he's coming back, he's like, I had fun playing for Sirianni.
Yep.
Like, I enjoyed this. This is fun. I want to do this.
Kind of like early Doug.
Yeah.
It was like a buzz.
Yes. And that was the, I will fight anyone that the most important thing about that 17 season was the chemistry, was the team,
right.
Was that group of guys, the we all we got, we all we need, us against the world, the underdog thing. Those are powerful, motivating things in a sport where it's all about motivation. It's all about going out and wanting to beat the dude in front of you and wanting it more. I think that stuff is super impactful in the NFL in particular, even more than other sports. And I think that this team feels like they got a little juice going there. I agree with you. I think these guys like playing for Sirianni. They like the culture he's creating. And to the point with A.J. Brown coming here, I think they like Jalen Hurts as their leader. We don't know if he's good enough yet. We'll get into all that.
Right.
But in terms of just like a guy being the leader of a team and them going out to fight for that dude and the general and all that, it feels like Jalen Hurts is a guy that players respond to.
Yeah, there's some, it's weird because they're totally opposite as players, but there's some foals to him and that, like,
absolutely.
They all love him. They want him to be the quarterback. 215-592-9494 if you want to hop in and be part of the show here. It's our schedule release show. So 1 hour from now, we will have the full Eagles schedule, and we got to look at the other teams in the division, their schedule as well. But let's just jump in quickly on what we know already, and it's confirmed. We know, and the Eagles put this out, week one, they're in Detroit against the Lions. They open as a 4.5-point favorite here, James. It's interesting. It's the kind of game where they should win. They're better.
Yeah, you could say that.
But I do think it's kind of weird because they went there last year and blew the Lions out. The Lions are kind of a team that people are intrigued by, I guess, a little bit because they were spunky last year. They weren't.
Well, we all thought, well, there were a lot of people who thought they might lose that
game
going in.
But the rest of the year, they weren't awful. Like, they lost a bunch.
They fought.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy it's the Lions, right? It's not a tough game. I do think that is an interesting spot for the Eagles. Like, if they go in there and win convincingly, that's going to really impress me in week one. Because that Lions team, for the most part last year, they were in a lot of close games.
Yeah, they fight. Again, I think it's a good way to put it. And Dan Campbell seems like he's instilled that kind of thing in this team. That they might not be very talented, but you know what? They're not going to roll over. And I think that is a tough team, in a sense, to start the season against. But to your point, I mean, you look at the schedule, I would say Detroit, one of the 3 or 4 teams you're most excited to play this season.
Right.
And that's what I wanted. Coming into the schedule, before any leaks, before anything, I just said, I want it easy to start.
The opposite of last year.
I think last year is really more of an anomaly. I think usually you see teams get hot to start the season, get on a roll like 2017, build on that, confidence builds, chemistry builds, all that's winning breeds confidence. I think that starting against a team like Detroit is a real win for the Eagles. But to your point, you're right. It's not a cupcake in the way that it might have been, you know, a couple years ago. Right?
Yeah, so week one in Detroit, we know about. The Eagles have put that one out. They open as 4.5-point favorites. Then we know week two. We found that out a couple days ago. The home opener against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's been a decent team for a while now. They're not bad. They're just blah.
They're so blah.
They've taken on the personality of Kirk Cousins, right? Like, he's not bad. Anyone that calls Cousins bad
is
silly. He's fine. He's a pretty good quarterback. But I like that as a home opener spot. One, because Cousins on the road, I think, is 10 and 17 in primetime.
I think it's 8-17.
Okay. Yeah,
I saw 8-17. It's one of those type of numbers.
It's bad, right? He just 1 o'clock Sunday, I don't want to play Kirk Cousins.
I agree with you.
8 p.m. here, I do. James, it's set. Like, it is set up for them to go 2-0 to start the season. That And that's like the total opposite last year because they had to dig out of a 2-5 start. If they go 2-0, there's going to be buzz around here.
There will be. And I think there should be again. And I do think it matters, not just for us and for the fan base and us getting excited about this team. I think it matters to win games early. I think it breeds confidence. I think these guys will start believing in themselves, believing in the system, believing in Hurts if he looks good.
Yep.
And it's a game about confidence. The football's a game about going out and being confident in what you do. And I think that something like that, a good start to the season, can maybe foster it even more than what you would already have.
It's interesting. You know, we're talking about expectations. I do wonder over the next, and it starts tomorrow, right? Because everyone has a schedule in front of them. Mm-hmm. You'll see predictions. It's not just us.
Yes.
I wonder if the Eagles are going to end up being that team this summer people start jumping on. It feels like we're trending that way because, I mean, there's two separate discussions here. One, it's the Eagles and what they did. But, James, just independently, I thought the Cowboys have had an awful offseason. They lost two offensive linemen. I know they drafted one. We'll see if he could play. But they lost two starting offensive linemen. They lost Amari Cooper. They lost Cedric Wilson, who was pretty good at the end of last year.
Randy Gregory?
Yes. I know they brought Gallup back, but he got hurt late in the season.
He's coming off an ACL.
Doesn't it feel like the Cowboys are headed for a disappointing year? And I thought they were kind of overrated based on their record anyway last year. They weren't great.
Oh, they weren't. No, they definitely weren't. And I think they were one of those teams that started hot. Everyone's like, oh, the Cowboys, look at them. And as the season went on and they started to lose guys and started to kind of play the season out, they just weren't that good. They were okay. You know?
And you saw it in the playoff game.
And
when
you
they
saw
lost.
It in the playoff. And, I think Dak's a good quarterback, but I don't think Dak's great. You know, I think there was a time last year where everyone started to be like, oh, Dak, MVP guy, he's great. And then I think we saw the real Dak as the season progressed. I think he's a good quarterback. But I don't think you're winning games just because of Dak. I don't think you're going to the Super Bowl just because of Dak. I don't think he's that type of guy. And to your point, I mean, losing Amari Cooper matters. Losing Randy Gregory matters. Losing offensive linemen matters. Where on the flip side, the Eagles went out and filled holes. They got Hassan Reddick. They got A.J. Brown. They had a good draft. They did all these things. And I don't think they're done adding for what it's worth. James Bradbury's out there.
Yep.
Other guys, I think the secondary gets at least one more guy. So, yeah, I'm actually shocked at how optimistic I am right now about not just the team, but the division, their chances to win it, all that.
Well, the other part of the division, I still think the Giants are a while away, right? I know they got a new coach.
I think they want to be.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants have any intent. Look, they're not going to lose games on purpose. You know, no Hugh Jackson here or whatever.
But it's kind of a long-term thing.
I think Joe Shane is looking at this and saying, hey, I don't believe in Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I'm sure him and Dable are coming in. They want their guy. There's, you know, Mel Kiper's talking about 7 quarterbacks going in the first round, whatever it is. I think the Giants are looking at this and saying, hey, we're not going to be that good anyway. We're going to play young guys. We're going to develop. And I think the Giants are fine being a bad football team this year.
So that, the only team we haven't discussed here, James, that leaves the Washington Commanders, led by Carson Wentz. It's almost poetic that he's back in the division
it's
now.
It's not almost poetic.
It is poetic.
It's poetic.
It is poetic. So we don't have the full exact schedule. That comes at 8 o'clock. We'll give it to you as soon as it does come out. But we do have some of these leaks that have come out. One of them, confirmed by the Washington Post, one of the beat writers down there, Eagles will host the Commanders Week 10 Monday Night Football.
Oh, buddy!
We knew it was a lock that it would be a primetime game. Like, the NFL had to do it. My only gripe is that it's not earlier in the season.
I agree.
Because he gets hurt.
He gets hurt.
Benched, whatever. Yeah. You know, it might not have the same buzz. But boy, if the Eagles are, let's say, pretty good and the Commanders are at least, well, it doesn't matter what the record is. As long as he's starting, that will be one of the most just wild scenes. Like, we get two of these. We'll get to the other one. But we get two moments this year at home. We get to welcome back someone who, in theory, like, should be a guy we talk about forever. And it will be Carson Wentz, just the wrong way. What do you think it's going to be like at the link that night?
It's a really fascinating one because, and I'm sure this will change over time. And you know, time heals all wounds and all that stuff. But it's a fascinating legacy for Carson Wentz here. I mean, personally, the way I look at it, is that dude played a big role in me getting a Super Bowl.
Well, he did.
Like, That's it. Everything else, like, I hated it. I hated him in the moment. I hated him so much in the moment when he went, that all happened and he grassed it out and I have no accountability and I couldn't stand it. But now that he's gone, now that he was out of my hair for a year and all that and I got to root against him and I got to watch him fail against Jacksonville and all that, like, I don't like Carson Wentz. I'm not rooting for Carson Wentz, but I appreciate what he did here and what he meant for my team and my experience with my team. So I think it's really complicated. I don't know. I feel like I would cheer him at first and then boom, the rest of the game. But even then, like, the cheer wouldn't be as full-throated, so to speak, as it probably would have been if all that.
Yeah, you know, I can't. I'm actually, and like, I want to see the Eagles win that game 44-0.
Yeah.
But I
can't, more than anything.
If you ask me right now, I think it's going to be a little bit mixed in the building. I think the boos will drown out the. Will there be any cheers? Will the people feel like you just kind of be quieter?
I think they'll be more quiet. But I mean, if he comes out at first, I think you give him a little, like, you know, a little quick cheer.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the
Super
Bowl.
The fact that he's in the division, though, and a rival, it changes it.
It does.
If he came back with the Colts, which we thought that's where it was going to end up,
yep.
Obviously, that didn't last very long. I think that would have been different.
I think you're right about
one
that.
One every 4 years, yeah. It's like this is the only time he's ever coming back. Yeah. And this might be the only time.
It probably will be.
With the way his career's going, he might not be in the league very long. But it's going to be like that will be such a great scene. I can't wait for that week leading up to it on WIP.
Because that's all
we're going to talk about.
It's gonna be awesome. Again, like if you think about it, just in the last, let's say, you know, 5 years or whatever. In what we do for a living, like, is there a name in your life that you've said more than Carson Wentz? Other than maybe your kid's name and your wife's name? Like, that's it. I've said Carson Wentz's name a million times.
Burned in my brain, and I'm sure yours as well, is I see the call screen. It just says Wentz.
Carson Wentz, either way. Totally.
Yeah, I know. He's been the most talked about athlete in this city. I mean, you would throw him and a couple basketball players, maybe Bryce Harper, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. That's who we've talked about. And then the coaches, obviously. Speaking of coaches... Looks like week 4 is Doug Peterson's return, and there'll be no ambiguity with that one, my friend. That will be a hero's return.
Yes, it should be.
And I were talking about this, and my theory is that he has to be the only coach or player to return to a city where his statue is outside the building.
That's a great point.
Like, Doug Peterson's statue's outside the stadium, and he's coming back here to coach. I can't wait to cheer Doug in week 4 if that's the game.
I love the man. I love him. I'm rooting for Jacksonville because of him. They're my new AFC team.
Why not? Like,
unless you're playing the Eagles, go Jags. I love Doug Peterson. And I know that it got a little, you know, ugly that last year. And there were a lot of people who didn't like him as a coach and all that. But regardless of that last year, obviously what he did for us in the Super Bowl, and I don't care what anyone says, the man was a genius the Super Bowl year. In-game, game planning, I know he had a lot of help and all that, but Doug Peterson
every button.
Was on a heater, man. I mean, everything the guy did was just the right move, and I'll never, never be able to thank him enough for that and what he gave us. But on top of that, like, he just seemed like a great dude, man. Like, who has a problem with Doug Peterson, the person? You can't. He's smiling, jovial, seemed like a great guy. His players loved him. I think there's few people who have come back, especially as recently as he has, who deserve a full, you know, standing ovation, the entire crowd, stop it all, and get up and cheer for that dude as much as Doug.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Look, that looks like it's an early season game this year. So the two divisions, because there's always so many different elements of the schedule, the two divisions the Eagles are going to play this year outside of the NFC East, obviously, so they're going to play the AFC South.
Thank goodness.
And they're going to play the NFC North. I've got to say, among the divisions they could play, you can't ask for much
I think it's probably the best, too. I mean, you could argue maybe you want to play the NFC South, you know, because outside of Brady, it's pretty bad.
It's similar
to the North in a lot of ways. But Minnesota may be a little better second team. Green Bay maybe probably not as good as Tampa Bay, but it all kind of evens out. But, I mean, the AFC South, easily the AFC division you want to face.
I mean, two awful teams with Houston and Jacksonville.
And two okay teams, you know? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe good, maybe okay. You know, Tennessee just lost a pretty damn good player, you know? So... And who knows, Matt Ryan? I think he'll be good there, but he's 36. It could be anything. So, yeah, in terms of the divisions, you got that extra stuff. I mean, they couldn't have gotten luckier.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite of last year. Because last year, you know, we went through it early in the season. It was like, man, they have to play the AFC West last year? And who they play in the NFC?
It would have been the South because they played Brady and all them.
Right. Yeah. Especially the AFC West. I mean, that's probably the most brutal division of football. Mm-hmm. And that tough start was part of it. I mean, this year, you kind of add it together. And the other part of the element of the schedule this year is, James, they get 9 home games.
Yep. That's a big one.
Because they're doing the reverse AFC-NFC thing. It was weird when they did that last year because I was like, all right, how are they going to do the 17th game? And I remember Tucker's idea was maybe a neutral site game, which would kind of be cool.
It is a cool idea, yeah.
But obviously they didn't want to give up revenue and money.
Really? No, it's surprising. But, I mean, these guys love to give up revenue, I feel like.
Every other year, it's an advantage for the NFC.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, it's a really big advantage. And look, it'll be an advantage every other year the other way. But in this case, especially with how the Eagles' schedule is set up already, as easy as it looks like it's going to be, having that extra game is just like an added bonus. It's huge.
So last year, and we'll find out when the schedule comes out, and you're listening to the Eagles special schedule show. Joe Giglio, James Seltzer hanging out for the next couple hours. Merrill Royce is going to join us at 8:30. When we get the full schedule, the thing I'm probably most interested in, because we know a lot of the games and we obviously knew the opponents before, is when is the bye, James? Because last year, it's funny, the bye is always a beauty in the eye of the beholder. Like, you could spin it any way you want. Ideally, you want it somewhere in the middle.
That's what I would think.
But last year, it was towards the end. And
it was the last week the byes were a part of the league.
Was it 14?
14. Yeah. It was the last group of byes.
And they spun it. And actually, I think it worked out. They were fresh down the stretch, and they finished it, and they got in the playoffs. This year, just from what we've seen leaked, it looks like it's going to be earlier.
Week six or seven, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in there, which is okay. But what my worry on the other end of that is we get to, you know, it's an 18-week season now. So if this team's good and we both think they could be pretty good, and we're talking about the playoffs, that means they haven't had a week off in, you know, months.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's a long haul. Yep. And especially if the leaks are right, you've got that stretch of three away games towards the back end of the season. You add that in with the early bye. The schedule looks tougher on the back end than on the first end. So while I did want an easier schedule to start, I think that's important. You could definitely look at it in a way where with the bye early, kind of after that bye, it could be a real marathon, so to speak, to make it all happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good, you know what we're going to be talking about in November. Like, they have to get the bye. They have to get a bye. Well, there's only one bye now, which makes
makes it really hard.
Probably not going to be that good to do that. But that's always a big one. And then you mentioned that there is, you know, one of the leaks out there is potentially three straight road games in December, which Howard said it last hour, and I agree with him. It's probably most unfair thing that the NFL does to any team, not just the Eagles, because it happens once in a while to all these teams. But there's no way around it. That is a killer. Like, if you win, and I was mentioning the Super Bowl year, they won two of the three.
Mm-hmm.
If you win two out of the three, I don't care who the opponents are. They could be three bad teams. It's a thumbs up. Like, I'll just take that right now. That's hard.
Oh, my God. I would take two in a second.
I think the Bengals last year had it and lost to the Jets in that last one.
The Saints, when the Eagles whooped the Saints last year, that was the Saints' third straight road game, and we saw what happened, 40-18, and the Saints were not great or anything, but I don't think the Eagles were that much better than the Saints.
No, it was the three straight road games.
It was the three straight road games. So, I think it's a massive disadvantage for any team that has it. You hope, and it looks like if the leaks are right, the first two games of it should be winnable. And then you just assume you go into Dallas on Christmas Eve and lose, because that's probably going to happen anyway. They don't play great in Dallas as of late. I mean, since 2017, I think they haven't won there, so they've been pretty bad in Dallas.
Yeah,
so
it's been a long time.
Been really bad. They won 2017 there, and since then, I don't know if they have. They might have been one in there, but I feel
like
they
did. Wasn't that the 2017 game
where 37-9, I think, was that one?
Who was the kicker? It wasn't Jake, was it?
It was Jake, yeah.
He got hurt.
Yeah, and that was the Kamu Grugier-Hill kicking the ball game.
Yes, and they were going for two.
Your ability, I noticed this when you were on with Howard, your ability to pull out the games and the facts and the memories of it.
It just like sits up there.
It's very impressive.
Too much up
very
there.
Very impressive.
They've stunk in Dallas
last year.
They've
stunk, man. They stunk.
And from my
memory, that's Hurts' worst game we've ever seen him play was Dallas last year. I mean, there are a couple you could throw in there, but that one for me, that was, in my opinion, the worst I've ever seen the game.
And what made that worse for me than the playoff game is, and I don't feel enough people have talked about this, he clearly re-injured his ankle in the playoff game.
Yes!
He couldn't push off.
The ankle was a thing!
Yeah, he had surgery!
Exactly, and also you just knew it in the moment. Like, he just wasn't running as much. And when he didn't have that same burst, that same wiggle. Like, it was clear that ankle was a bigger deal than anyone made it to be in the season.
And that's what bothered me, just to go on a Hurts tangent for a second, when people bring up that, remember the throw where they had the interception in the front of the end zone.
Of course, yeah.
If you go back and rewatch that, he like double clutched it two times. And I keep thinking it's because he knew he couldn't put the pressure on his leg.
Yeah.
Because he can make that throw.
Sure.
Like, if he can't make that throw, then he can't be a winning quarterback.
That's true.
We've seen him make that throw. But I agree with you. That Dallas game, it hurts us to get his first win in Dallas.
I know.
You can't be a long term Eagle quarterback unless you at least get a win in Dallas.
Well, he has to beat Dallas, right? I mean, period.
You know what? I'm sure at some point this summer or in the course of this fall, you guys on your show in the midday, Go Birds, my show, we're all going to do the what does Jalen Hurts have to do to be the long-term quarterback?
Yep.
It's got to beat Dallas.
That's a great one.
I mean, he's got to beat Dallas.
He has to.
This isn't rocket science. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. James Seltzer in for the next couple hours. It is our Eagles schedule release special here. We'll get the full schedule, and we'll know it officially coming up at 8 p.m. We know some of the leaks. Week one, the Lions. In Detroit, week two, the Minnesota Vikings. When we get back, let's look at the NFC East, the teams we know they're going to play, and who they're playing in week one, because there's a couple really good matches with the other NFC East teams in week one. We'll do that next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Football season feels like it. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio joined by James Seltzer. Eagles schedule release special as we get set for 8 o'clock. The full schedule will be out. James and I are ready, game by game. Now what do you do? Are you an iPhone guy? Or are you going to write it down pen and paper? How do you do the win-loss?
I go just, right off the top of my head, man.
Boom. Yeah, win-loss.
Just now, gut, you know, here's what do I feel in the
okay,
moment?
I yes, like that. Now, yes. Here's my question. Do you go in, because this is always, everyone's different on this. Do you go into the schedule, like, so 8 o'clock it'll come out, we'll tell everyone exactly what it is.
Yes.
Now, do you have a number kind of in your head right now, and then as you go through it, you try to make it match up, or do you not even think about what you think of the team and you just go game by game? Because, you know, for example, like, let's just say I think they're an 11-win team.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, I'm going through, and I'm like, oh, I got 5 losses. Mm-hmm. It's October 15th. Mm-hmm. It's October 30th. You kind of have to go undefeated the rest of it. Do you do that, or do you just try to just do it?
It's a great question. I'm happy you asked it. it's a combo of both, actually. So I don't – I go. I have an idea of what I think they're going to be.
Yeah, like,
I know in
do.
My head yeah. where I think – what type of team. I have a, you know, a 2-win range or so that I'm you know, going to be somewhere in there. But I don't purposefully say, all right, I got to get to 12. I got to get to 12. But I will, as I'm going – consciously think about the fact that just because in this moment I think they're going to win every game they're going to win, they're not. Something's going to happen. They're going to win one they're not supposed to. They're going to lose one they're not supposed to, so on and so forth. So I do try to think that way as I do it, but I don't, and I know what type of team I think they're going to be, but I don't ever say, I'm getting to 12, so now I'm at 3. I got to do this to get to 12. I don't do it that specifically.
Yeah, everyone goes about it differently. I try not to think too much about what I think they're going to be. Like, they're a 10-win team, 11, 9, whatever. Because that could cloud your judgment on
absolutely
the schedule. You
got to
go game by game. We'll do that coming up next hour. 215-592-9494. I actually heard the afternoon show today. They were doing it off the mock schedule. Like, they were a day ahead. They were ready.
Went for it.
I think I heard Ike at 12. Jack was at 8.
Not surprising.
I didn't hear Marx's number, but I think he was kind of more towards Jack's end of things. 8. I mean, that's – I don't know what's worse. 8 wins for this year's team or those AutoZone Jack commercials?
There's nothing worse than that, let's be honest. I mean, the man can't change a tire. But I will just say this. I hope he's listening because I'll say it right to him. Hey, Jack.
Oh, he's listening.
Stick to baseball. And we're good. And we did it.
Dave's in Chester. Dave wants to chat here about the Eagles and this defense. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, gentlemen? James, how are you?
What up, buddy? Nice to hear your voice, Dave.
All right, man. So I'm super excited, man. Howie really, really did his thing this offseason. He put together one blank of an offense. My problem is there's a big holes in defense yet, man. And the last time I checked, you had to stop the opponent at least once, unless you were able to manage the clock 100% correctly. And let's face it, Sirianni hasn't proved that to us yet. I mean, look, I like what they did on offense, but we got Josh Sweat. We signed him. Okay, good. We got Barnett. I don't have that much faith in Barnett except for him to make a stupid penalty here and there. Brandon Graham, I love him to death, but he's coming off of an injury and he's old. How much can we expect from the edge rushers here, guys?
Well, I think Reddick's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And, Dave, I think it's interesting what happened with the defense this offseason. They didn't say it out loud until the last couple of days. They're clearly moving to a 3-4.
Yep.
I mean, just when you kind of add it together, signing Kazir White, signing Hassan Reddick, drafting N'Kobe Dean.
Jordan Davis,
who's
prototypical.
Yeah, if you try to draw up a nose tackle, it is Jordan Davis. Dave, I think the 3-4 move is going to help them. I'm still a little bit worried about the secondary, safety, the other corner, but I think they're improved in the front seven by a lot.
Well, that was the second part of it, was the secondary and just the secondary in general. And even though Howie tells us we got to trust him, I mean, I can't do it until I see it. I'm not confident with anybody else outside of Slaying. I mean, face it, the right number one will trash him on the field. We've seen it happen over and over again already. I do want to say this about the schedule and a little bit that has been leaked. Mm-hmm. Is anybody else excited that we have the Saints pick and they look like they're going to be not so great with the eighth hardest schedule in the league? And we play them in January. Anybody else ecstatic about that? Even if we're horrible, then we have something to look forward to in January, boys.
Yeah, that.
Y'all have a great night.
You too, Dave. We appreciate it. We'll throw that in as what to watch for here. Sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity, the fast internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. We got another team to root against. We had two last year.
I love it, man.
Dolphins and Colts. Now we get the Saints.
So I love that trade, period. I thought it was just, I mean, honestly, I don't know what Mickey Loomis was doing. I don't know what he was thinking. It seems like such a short-sighted move by New Orleans, and just how he's pouncing, how he's seeing an opportunity,
yep,
taking advantage of it. I don't think there's any way he gets that haul on draft night if he makes that same trade. So I just love the trade, but you know, a nice little fringe benefit of it is it's really fun to root against another team like that. And I think the Saints have a chance to, if not be bad, certainly not be good. So I think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, they seem like a good team to try to short. I mean, like,
totally.
Look at
Jameis, they lose their head coach.
And it's Jameis off an injury.
Off an injury. Andy Dalton's the backup there. I mean, it's not like it gets much better if Jameis goes out.
So you mentioned you didn't know what the Saints were doing. Like, I kind of thought when it happened that maybe they think they have to get two picks to move up for a quarterback.
That was what I thought, too.
Obviously, the way it played out, nobody moved up for a quarterback.
When you see the breakdown of all the picks the Saints essentially gave up to go up and get Chris Olave at 11.
It's insane.
It's stunning. It's one of the most shocking things I've seen a general manager do in the NFL since David Gettleman, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, right. He's his own thing. But no, it's a good point by the caller. Like, and from the leaks we've seen, it sounds like that New Orleans game will be very late in the season.
Yep.
So that's two things I think of. One, you know, they could be playing a pretty bad team with something extra on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I was thinking, I was wondering if the NFL put it late in the season because, you know, late in the season, sometimes teams will just rest players. We saw the Eagles in back-to-back years for two different kind of reasons just not play the last game of the season. If it's the Saints, you know they're going to play.
That's a really interesting thought.
Like, they're going to force the Eagles
Joe,
to play.
That is a fascinating thought that I didn't think about.
Force them.
I really like that.
They're tired of Howie Roseman.
Because that game matters for them.
Yeah.
All of us, like, no matter what's happening in the season at that point,
right,
that game matters to the Eagles. I would have never thought about it. I love it.
I wonder if we get there. Like, let's say the Eagles don't need the game. Let's say they win the division. I know we're being very optimistic on that. But let's say they don't need the game in the last week. I wonder if that would be, like, I wonder how they would handle that, because their MO has been, we're not going to take any risks, but yet, like, what if the Saints are 5-11?
Yeah, and you're talking like a top five pick or something like that. I mean, there's real value. You talk about the draft chart, like,
yes,
the difference between the 12 pick and the 5 pick is massive.
Yeah, it would be like, for our audience, the people would scream if they put a player out there
know,
and they get hurt.
Know,
like, you're trying for a draft pick? We're
honestly,
going to the playoffs?
It's one of the all-time great hypotheticals with those types of things, because we've done the, you know, should they play guys or not a million times. It's like a whole other level to that. It's fascinating.
You want to tank? Well, how about this?
Yeah.
2 years later, you got to play guys to make sure you don't lose that draft pick status. All right, James, let's hit the week one games we know about and how they pertain to the Eagles here. So we know it's Eagles at the Lions week one. It is currently looking at a 4.5-point Eagles number. I love that these sportsbooks put these numbers up. It's, in one hand, it's crazy. On the other hand, it's like, all right, it gives you kind of a glimpse of what everyone thinks of these teams.
So yeah, I agree with you on that. It's also, I mean, it's a wild, I mean, I guess you could say, oh, I'm getting value, and if nothing changes, like, this will be 7 by the start of the season. But the idea that you would bet on a game, what is it, 4 months out, it's just great. Anything can happen. It's crazy.
So here are the NFC East games for week one. We know the Eagles are at the Lions. Now, this one, I mean, this has just got to be like, are they just trolling Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz
I love it.
The Commanders will host Doug Peterson and the Jaguars. And that's a double whammy for Wentz. We've got the whole Doug thing, right? And the two of them obviously left on bad terms.
Yep.
And then it's the Jaguars, which is that's he's gonna
the
have
team
nightmares.
That, yeah.
I mean, that's
a great point.
That had to be last year, and I know we all kind of laughed it off, and we had fun with it here. They were a 16-point regular season favorite and lost the game outright. And that, I'll never forget watching Ursay after the game. I was like, oh, yeah, Carson never played for them.
You knew it. Yeah. I mean, you could tell from everything they said, and I don't blame him. If I'm the owner of that team and that happens,
yep,
I'm out. I'm out on that, dude. I mean, like you said, a 16-point favorite. They lost with a chance to win an in, lose your out to the team that had the number one pick in the draft.
And they got beat up.
They lost by like 16 points or whatever. They got owned or whatever it was.
Yeah, upsets happen, but that's different. So that game, the Commanders open as a 4-point favorite. And then you have the Giants against the Titans. Giants are 6.5-point dogs in Tennessee. But the one I really want to talk about, James, because, you know, we haven't seen the full Dallas schedule, but we know the Eagles, Lions, Vikings. So, there's a chance of 2-0. Dallas opens at home. They are 2.5-point underdogs to the Bucks.
Love that. Give it to me. It's great.
Early start where the Eagles are 1-0. Dallas is 0-1.
I love it. I mean, again, back to the starting hot thing. I think it's important, and that's a tough spot for Dallas, especially Brady coming back. Dude thought he played his last game. Now he's back, and he's going into Dallas. I think that's a lot of fun. That's fantastic.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Warren is at Gwinnett Valley talking some Eagles on schedule release night. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud. Anytime. What's on your mind?
I was going to say, just starting off, hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, Warren. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you. I was going to say, I don't know if you guys thought about it, but wouldn't you say it's a bad omen that Ray Didinger is retiring before the Eagles season?
I hadn't thought about it, but you could flip it the other way, Warren, and say that Ray retiring, that they're going to do it for Ray. You could think about it that way, right? The Eagles are like, oh, God, Ray's leaving. Let's give Ray a real – he gets to sit at home and just relax during the games. He doesn't have to go on TV after. Let's give him a magical year that he can enjoy.
You know what I'm excited for Ray, and I don't know when he'll do this, but – you know, Ray has been, and, you know, obviously so well-respected among all of us and everyone in the city. But Ray, for all of us that do sports radio, I know Ray was a journalist before he got to doing any sports radio, but, like, he's the most, like, always down the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm excited for Ray that he could be a fan again.
Love that.
Because, you know,
I love it.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Because that's, like, he's kind of put that on the side. The only time we ever really saw it was the Super Bowl with the hug with his son.
And which, even then, he, like, kept it together more than I think. Like, I would have been a puddle on the
every
floor,
other dad and son in the whole area was the puddle.
Well, the other thing is that there should be a few trees saved from the yellow paper that Ray eats up, too.
Well, that's true, too. That we're helping the environment with that.
Unless he does start doing the notepads for other things, like movies and this and that, I could see Ray just transferring it over to, you know, books he's read. He's broken down on the pads.
Where's my Sudoku?
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Warren, about this team? A full schedule coming out at 8, but we know Lions-Vikings to start off. What are you thinking, Warren?
I feel like if Jalen Hurts does not improve, then this is an 8-9 team about the same as last year.
And if he does,
if this team is going to, if he improves, we're a playoff team. I'd see it black and white.
Yeah, well, I do too. And Warren, and listen, man, we appreciate the call, James. There's no question in my mind, Jalen Hurts will improve. If you go
absolutely.
Back, I always tell this story when I talk about him, because the first time I watched Jalen Hurts play at Alabama, he was a freshman. I thought he was a running back. I didn't think he could play quarterback. Yeah. Like, his throwing motion was so bad. Like, you watch him then at 17 years old to now, it's night and day. Like, he's improved every year. Now, at some point, he's going to hit a ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Is it top 15 in the league? Is it top, I hope it's top 10. But, like, he's going to hit a ceiling at some point. But he's going to get better. I would say, just conservatively, he was, I would call him the 28th best quarterback in the league last year. 18, 19, 20. I'd put him in that range.
18 is a number I just had in my head when you just mentioned it.
If he can get to the 13 to 16 range this year, they're going to go to the playoffs. But like, I'd be shocked if he doesn't improve off of last year.
I would be floored, Joe. I mean, first and foremost, to your point, I mean, this kid, of all the maybe players we've ever seen here, if I think of one person who I know is at least going to, and he might have hit his ceiling physically, he might have hit his ceiling mentally, we don't know. But in terms of putting in the work, no one's going to put in more. Like, this kid will do whatever his max potential is in his body and mind for football, he will get it out of himself.
And Sirianni, they keep saying that.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why they're banking on
And I believe that. And again, the question is, what is that max potential? Because I do think he'll reach it. And look, I think just in the sense of he's in year two in Sirianni's system, this is the first time he's had the same offensive system 2 years in a row. It's his second year as a starter. That first year, I mean, he was barely, you know, could you call it year two? You could also say it was essentially year one for him. Year two in that spot, in that role, the offense way better around him. I don't see any scenario where he's not better. It just comes down to how much better.
And the other thing, and I, This, if I have a worry about Jalen, it's more durability than ability. I could,
well, especially with the way he plays.
Yeah,
of course.
Right. And he's had ankle injuries in college. Mm-hmm. He had an ankle injury last year. The way he plays, it makes me wonder how they're going to play this season, because obviously their strength last year was running the football. But you know that caller that called in about the defense, James, I thought part of the reason they started running the ball so much, yes, they were inefficient throwing it. Their defense was so bad. I mm-hmm. thought they tried to keep their defense off the field and running it and eating up the clock.
That's a really good point.
Wonder if I'm fascinated to see how the offense looks and how much they change it, right? Because like they still are going to be able to run the ball. It still should be a strength.
They should run the ball.
Of course. Yeah. They just shouldn't go away from that. But I wonder how much they flip it. Like, because we remember the first five games of the year. I mean, Sirianni, I mean, every call on the board was run the ball. Like, that Dallas game.
They chanted it at the stadium, Joe. Never
the Bucks.
In my life.
And then he ran the ball out.
And he ran the ball. I've never in my life heard, I've never heard a fan base yell run the ball. Like, it was unbelievable.
I got calls that week where people honestly believed that he started running the ball because of the crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Like, we're the reason why.
I think a lot of people think
I think
so whether
too.
It's the fans, WIP, the whole, like, thing of it, I think a lot of people think that the pressure to run the ball was part of why they started running the ball.
I know they're going to throw it more. It's a question of how much they flip this. Is this a passing team or is this like a balanced team?
It's a great question. I think it's more balanced than straight passing. But I do think, look, we know, we've heard it talked about Jeffrey Lurie. And I do think with Nick Sirianni, I think we saw at the beginning of last year that ideally he'd like to be a passing offense. Well, I think that, you know, that's where the NFL is. We all know that. You can win running to a point, but if you really want to win in the NFL, you have to be able to pass the football, and the Eagles were not good enough at that last year. But look, you don't go out and get A.J. Brown unless you're playing to pass the ball more. I mean, you really don't. And I think that's a real sign.
And give him $100 million.
And give him $100 million contract. And look, outside of you want to compete and all that, which you do this year, this is a make or break year for Jalen Hurts. This is a do we pay him millions and millions of dollars type of year from the franchise's perspective. Like, you need to know that this guy can go out and be an effective thrower in the NFL. And you have to find out. They have to find out this year one way or the other.
Yeah, the whole Hurts thing is fascinating because I keep thinking about this. Like, what does he have to do to get them to believe and pay him?
I think about it way too much.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
I keep coming back to this. If he wins enough, they're not going to be able to get rid of him.
I agree.
The locker room,
like, if they win a playoff game, if they win the division and win a playoff game, what do you do? I mean, it almost doesn't even matter if he's the reason or not.
Right. It might end up that we play this out another year. I wonder if he becomes the Eagles' version of Dak Prescott.
Because it's a fascinating thought. Kirk Cousins back in Washington.
Right. They didn't really want to. They weren't sure if they should pay him. But then it became like, well, he's here and he's good and we're winning with him and they're not going to get rid of him. But they, both of those situations, they played it out. Like, and I also think with the Eagles, remember how many years it was after T.O. they were afraid to spend money on these star players?
Yes.
Well, you know, like they were burned by Wentz.
Big time. It's a great point. I would be shocked. I don't think there's Jalen Hurts would have to be otherworldly this year for them to give him a $150 million contract.
I think it's very likely he's their quarterback at 2023. I also don't think he's going to have a big long-term contract.
It's a fascinating thought. Well, I mean, look, theoretically, ideally, you know, if you get that extra year of Hurts next year on that rookie contract.
Better players,
right? Yeah, you get another year in this, like a little, you almost create a two-year window here for yourself.
Yep.
If Hurts can take a step forward to really do some things.
But that becomes the biggest talking point. I mean, it's always.
It hangs over everything.
Yeah,
it's massive. And I do think that Jalen Hurts is the kind of player who can handle all this stuff, again, to the point where, contrasting with Carson Wentz, somebody didn't handle these things well. I do think Jalen Hurts is incredibly mentally strong to the point with Alabama. I mean, the dude was able to getting benched in the national championship game and come back and go to another place and still thrive and succeed and all that. It takes real mental fortitude, so I believe in him in that area. But yeah, if he's good this year, and then it's going to be a fascinating thing if that's what it
plays. I mean, it seems like ever since he got in there, we've been debating his future. It's
absolutely.
Like, I always wonder, like, how many games he's going to start and win as we continue to do this. Like, people still call the station and say I'm sure you guys hear this on the Midday Show, that people believe the Eagles don't really think he's their quarterback.
Of course.
And I'm like, they drafted him.
Yep.
They put him in as a starter. Mm-hmm. He's still here. Like, obviously, they like him a little bit, or at least enough to put him in. All right, let's hit this before we actually get the full schedule coming out at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll know it in full. Where do you stand on the primetime games versus the 1 o'clock starts? Always a great debate around here.
Okay, so personally?
Personally, as a fan.
Well, I have to wake up at 6 in the morning, so I hate him. because I have to do a podcast after the game. So it's selfish of me in that what I do for a living now, when I do like game's over, Elliot has to do his stuff after. He has to go to all the press conference stuff. And then I have to do a podcast like 1 a.m. So I hate them personally. But as a
You've
fan,
been doing that for a while. I remember back in the old place. I was coming in maybe at those days to do like overnight shows. Yep. And you were going in and do a podcast.
Yep. So personally, but as a fan, I think they're fun. It's fun to be in front of the country, in front of I prefer Sunday night to Monday night. I don't love Monday night anymore. It's just a weird day. It feels like you're just kind of waiting for it, but you have to go to work that day.
Also throws off the sports radio week.
That too. It really throws
off
the
Fridays on a Monday with a Monday night game.
It's a weird thing. And then day games aren't even like they're just not that fun. Like on the radio. Like they're fine. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
We want to react to the game.
We want to react to the game. And it's like a weird vibe. So I prefer Sunday night to Monday night and certainly to Thursday night. But I think they're fun to get in front of the national stage, but I don't need too many of them.
So I feel similarly. So I do the pregame show on the road. So for those games, at home I don't really care because I'm not working the home Sundays. I just get to watch at home. But when it's a road game and I'm doing the pregame show with Glenn and Ross Tucker, I actually prefer 1 o'clock for this reason. When they're 4:25, when we had those games, I'm trying to watch Red Zone
same,
too.
Same, buddy.
And I got, you know, I don't want to ignore Glenn. I don't want to ignore Ross and ignore the show, but like, there's a lot going on.
Yes!
1 o'clock, it's like, whatever. It's like we're starting the show at 11. There's nothing going on 11 a.m. in the morning, so I'm locked in. So I like the 1 o'clock games for that reason, because you don't miss anything else in the morning.
And then the Eagles game's done. You do your thing, and then you get ready for Sunday night football. You watch the afternoon games. It's beautiful. I'm with you. My 1 o'clock Sunday is football, right? Like, if you had to just pick a time during the week to say, what's the most football time of
1
the
o'clock.
Week? It's 1 o'clock on Sunday.
It kicks off. All right, let's talk to Leon in Dallas. What's up, Leon?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How are you doing tonight?
Good, Leon. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Doing good. I just want to say you guys are great together. You know, it's not often we get you guys on, but you know, you guys are just good. You and James.
Well, we appreciate it. I'm glad James could come in tonight. I was like, I gotta get James.
Oh wait, is he gone?
No, I'm here, Leon. I'm here, brother. Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't kick him out in the minute we brought you up on the phone. Get out, James. Now, what are you thinking here, Leon?
Just want to talk about the schedule real quick. So don't you guys think it's odd that all four NFC East teams have the easiest schedules? Like, I believe it's like Cowboys have the easiest. And this is all just, you know, according to statistics, I guess.
Right.
Who knows
strength
how
the schedule,
out. But I just thought it was weird, though, you know, just how that played out. And like you said, or I think the caller mentioned how the Saints have the eighth, you know, toughest schedule. So hopefully that, you know, benefits for us because, you know, they might win 8-7 games.
Yeah, you know, Leon, I think it is. It's just because the rotating division versus division, right? Like, so this year the NFC East gets to play the NFC. They play the AFC South. We'll play the Colts and the Texans, the Jaguars, and they're also going to play. What is it? Who's the NFC division they're playing this year?
The North.
The North, right? So the Bears and the Lions. So that's it, Leon, because they all play those same teams. That's why they're all clustered at the bottom. It just so happens. And then last year, Leon, remember they played the AFC West. So it's just kind of luck of the draw this year that the NFC East has those other divisions.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I never really understood how those things played out. But again, thank you guys for taking my call. Prayers up to Danny Green. I don't know if y'all seen what happened earlier, but, you know, he's now out for the game. And, you know, big game, so we needed him. But, yeah, I hope he's all right. And hopefully the Sixers pull it out because we need that game 7. But I appreciate you guys, and y'all have a good night.
You got it, Leon. Yes,
too, Leon.
Yeah, I didn't see the injury, but we saw a lot of people talking about it. As far as the way its schedule goes, it's favorable. But we have to – I'm glad he brought that up. We have to remember, like, the Giants and the Washington Commanders and
sure.
the Cowboys get those teams too.
Yeah, and that is certainly, I don't think we're as worried about the Giants getting those teams.
No.
But with Dallas, you know, and theoretically Washington, I mean, I don't believe in Carson Wentz, but, you know, there are some people out there who still do. But, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a concern in the sense that, you know, yes, it's good for the Eagles, but it's also good for Dallas. But you can't worry about that too much. Ultimately, you got to make the playoffs. You got to worry about the rest of the league. And I'll give up Dallas having an easy schedule for us to have one, too.
Yes. All right. One more quick thing, and then we're going to have the schedule in full coming up at 8 o'clock. And James and I will go win-loss, 8:30 tonight. We're going to have Merrill Reese call in. I'm very excited to hear from Merrill as he...
cannot wait.
I'm excited that we get to have Merrill with, like, his first thought
I'm
on the
so
schedule.
I'm so excited. It's like a... It's honestly, it's like an honor to get Merrill on here. The first people to talk to Merrill about the games he's calling in his 41st or 42nd season, whatever it is. It's awesome.
It's funny. But like, I'd imagine Merrill's one of the few people that the schedule matters more to. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, it's everything to him. He's the voice of the Eagles.
Yes, yes, he is. You, it's rare that you look at the schedule and say, I'm going to every single one of these games, and I am involved in every single one of these games. For Merrill, that's his life. He looks at these games and say, all right, I guess I'm going to Arizona in October, and I'm going to Chicago in December, or whatever. Like, yes, it really it impacts him in a much, much bigger way than any of us, for sure.
So where? So we'll, when we get the games that in full coming up in a few minutes, we'll know, for the most part, primetime. We'll know the primetime based on the day and the time. But we'll also know Fox or CBS. Where are you right now, James, on the broadcaster shuffle? Because I was always, my favorite were Buck and Aikman.
Me too.
Now they're Monday Night Football. So I don't know this for a fact, because isn't the week two a doubleheader?
Week two is a doubleheader.
It's Buffalo, Tennessee.
Buffalo, Tennessee, and then us. Yep.
So we don't know if we get Buck and Aikman.
That's a great point.
We could not. But if they're on the Commanders game that we think is on a Monday night.
Correct.
That will be Buck and Aikman. They're my favorites. Where are you with this broadcasting shuffle? Because the money is obviously crazy, but who cares about that? I mean, just like from a fan perspective, it's so different. Now we're going to have an Amazon with Al Michaels and Kirk
Herbstreit. Yep.
Which I'm not sure about for the NFL.
We'll say. I don't know. I think Herbstreit's good at college.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a jump.
Sure
it's a
it
different
is.
Game. I mean, Al's the best. I love Al. And I think Al and Collinsworth were really good together. And
so Tirico
and Collinsworth, which I think will be good. I think Tirico's solid. You know, I don't think he's as good as Al.
And then for this year,
it'll be Burkhart and Olsen, I would guess.
Yeah.
And it'll definitely Burkhart. It's a question of who's with him.
I like both of them. It just doesn't feel like, and this
feels
is what,
smaller.
That's why they gave
it
Brady
is what
the
is.
Bag. Yeah.
Of course it is. That's why they gave him $375 million. And then I'll be like, oh, it feels big again. Tom Brady's there.
And then Romo and Nance.
Romo and Nance, yeah.
And we could have a few of those, because when the Eagles take on the Colts and the Titans,
yep.
AFC games.
Mm-hmm. Those are some big games.
Yeah, we could get
that. And Pittsburgh. Eagles-Pittsburgh is always kind of a big vibe. That could
That'll
be that,
be a
too.
Bit. We can't let the Eagles lose to Kenny Pickett.
No.
Small hands.
It could be
Pickett.
Mitch Trubisky,
It
too,
could
though.
Be Mitch. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. So your favorite, Buck and Aikman?
My favorite right now, yeah, but it was Michaels and Collinsworth for a while there, but I think that Buck and Aikman passed them the last few years.
It just, I've always felt it's a big game feel when there's Buck and Aikman.
100% agree.
And we'll get them with some of the Monday night games this year. All right, 215-592-9494. It is our Eagles schedule release special. James Seltzer hanging out. Coming up on the other side, we will have the Eagles schedule in full. We'll break it down. Yes, James and I are going to go win-loss.
Yes.
The entire thing and see where we come out on the other side. We'll grab your phone calls. Merrill Reese is also going to join the show in this next hour to talk Eagles. The NFL schedule is about to be released. We'll bring it to you next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.